Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here Tuesday, January 7th. Somehow we survived, John. We survived January 6th, the worst day ever in American history, according to some of these people. You know, they certainly didn't have their big January 6th celebrations yesterday, did they? I mean, what happened? It was like the annual January 6th celebrations. Are they just going to blame it on the snowstorm in D.C.? Well, we had to call off some of our annual January 6th celebrations because the media and the Democrats, they loved January 6th. Not so much anymore.
Well, were you playing that clip where they were showing CNN is just wetting their pants about how nobody cares about it anymore? It's like 5% of people said that's their major memory of Donald Trump's presidency. 5%. Nobody cares. That's what they spent their Donald Trump, this entire presidency here of Biden, talking about this and talking about Trump and January 6th, and they find out nobody cares. We said that the whole time. And here they are in that January 6th committee committing crimes, you know, perjury, suborning perjury, all this stuff to push a narrative that nobody cares about.
Yeah, to think that it's some, and also that they could try to interfere in the 2024 presidential election and make Donald Trump look bad. But the more people found out and the more facts they had, they were like, this is stupid. The Democrats were the ones who didn't authorize additional security on that day. And Donald, it's just like, but yeah, CNN, for those of you that missed it, thedailywire.com has the full video and more, where they basically point out how, yeah, CNN realizes 2 months too late that Americans don't care about January 6th anymore.
And now I guess Trump is saying he is ready to pardon, you know, I think the phrase was thousands of January 6th defendants, like in the first couple of days of his presidency. And now I want them all pardoned. I don't care who it is. I want them all out of there because, you know, first of all, this was a setup. Right. This was an absolute setup done by what, 26 government informants in the crowd instigating the whole thing, along with their Antifa operatives and all that. I want them all out of there. And second, because you know why, Aaron, it's religion to these people. That thing is so, I want you just take an axe to their religion.
Yeah. Well, and when you see terrorists that attack this country in Gitmo being put back out on the streets, when you see rapists and murderers being put back out on the streets or having their sentences commuted or being removed off of death row, it's like, okay, so I think the grandma who walked through the Capitol, yeah, I think she can get a reprieve, you know?
And how they get these people held without bond over there. I mean, I spent my whole career working with that stuff. And you know what you have to do to get somebody held without bond on a federal charge? You have to prove they're a flight risk. All right. Or that they're a danger to the community. And that danger to community thing is pretty dang high. But they just lie and they get their phony judge up there to go along with it and get these people held forever, you know, in the gulag up there in D.C.
Well, I'm glad you're with us here today, John. My voice is still a little raspy. Yesterday it was so raspy, I almost tapped out. I almost was like, man, I'm going to just call the Joker, see if he just wants to come take over the show. Because, man, for a little while there, I was sounding like Tone Loke. I had the funky Colt Medina going on.
Securing America.
The National Fraternal Order of Police recently released its year-end report detailing the number of officers shot in the line of duty during 2024. The FOP states that 342 officers were shot, which is a 9% decrease from 2023, which saw a record 378 officers shot. However, 50 of those officers shot last year were killed. That's up 8% from 2023. The FOP also reports that there were 61 ambush attacks on officers last year, which led to 79 being shot and 18 killed. FOP President Patrick Yeo said in a statement that, quote, many will often look at this data and just see numbers, but we must remember that they represent heroes, fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters. Yeo's also called for further action from Congress to protect law enforcement officers, calling continuing violence against them a stain on our society. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Justin Trudeau is out. That's right. The pretty little Prime Minister of Canada is stepping down. How did Canada get stuck with that tyrant for this long? Then again, look at the mess facing our country. Well, 2 weeks to go. We will be there for President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. Then we head straight to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Meantime, we got a lot to cover, and we want to hear from you because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Of course, we take your calls when John Jackson, the Joker from X, is in the house as well. We opened up by talking about this, about Donald Trump Jr. being on the ground in Greenland already. Greenland or Greenland? Greenland, Greenland. I don't know. Pecans, pecan, pecan, whatever, right? Yeah, you got me.
We're calling it West Carolina here.
West Carolina, there you go. Yeah, or would it be East Carolina?
East Carolina.
East Carolina. Yeah, yeah. I guess it depends. It's such a massive country. You got to see where it sits on the parallels there.
Well, Don Jr. is up there now, you know, making an offer. And, you know, we'll see. It's going to go back and forth. They're going to get some earnest money. You know,
Oh, I know what Don Jr. is up there doing. He's scoping out new places to go hunt. He's like, ooh, what kind of animals could I go hunting for up here? In fact, if we see him at the SHOT Show, we need to say, hey, you know, we gave you a pass on not meeting us in Ingemar, you know, before the election. But, you know, to make up for it, John and I want to go hunting with you in Greenland, one of these days.
And we get a ride on Trump Force One, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, for not showing up in Ingemar last year, I think we deserve a free air ride, I think, out of this deal. You know?
Well, we're going to have to see if Governor Gianforte is going to show up, too, because he's the one that helped us corral Don Jr. and bring him down.
I'm pretty sure he'll be there. In fact, I just saw a list of some of the Montana companies that are going to be at the SHOT Show. Yeah, basically, 2 weeks from today, both John and I will be headed to Las Vegas for the SHOT Show, and John will be sidekicking with us for three days of shows that week, Wednesday through Friday, for the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, the world's biggest gun show once again. All right, hold that thought, though, John. Let's go into the phone lines. Tim in Billings wants to weigh in on this expansion of America. Tim, what's your thoughts?
I say we call it Coastal Montucky. But anyways, I think it's great. And I think we give both Canada and Coastal Montucky full rights as states so that we can watch the Puerto Rican representative melt down again as the Democrats sit there and clap like a couple of seals begging for a fish. As she goes up and has an absolute meltdown when she realizes that they're not a state and they don't have the entire rights and privileges that a state does. The other thing that I wanted to mention, I think it's great to see Dana White going onto the board of Meta. Mark Zuckerberg, it's almost like, hey, if you get into a tough type of combat sport, you know, get into jiu-jitsu, martial arts, wrestling, boxing, where you've got some opponent that's taking your face and stuffing it in the mat or twisting your body in ways that you can't stop them and you don't want them to do it, you kind of learn that words are not violence. Actual violence is violence. And even sometimes actual physical violence isn't even violence. It's just people putting you in a spot you don't want to be. And that kind of alters your entire perception of reality.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, that John and I were talking about that off air. I'm glad you brought that up as well. Dana White with a UFC, who is just placed on the board of Meta, which for those of you who don't know, Meta is basically Facebook. So Mark Zuckerberg got Dana White on the board. So hopefully that means big changes for free speech, and stopping the throttling of conservative content, or at least common sense content on Facebook, because they've just been an arm of the Democrat Party and the radical left, that's for sure. First off, though, what do you think about the coastal Montucky name for Greenland becoming part of the United States of America?
Oh, no, we're not adding any more actual states. We don't need any
this
of that crap.
Territory.
We don't need a territory. We don't need any more senators, any more Congress. We don't want any more of those clowns up there in D.C. that we have to pay for. No, hell no. But we will make it a territory, yeah.
Well, that's where when President Trump talks about Canada becoming the 51st state, well, if it was our friends in Alberta and Saskatchewan, okay, we might have a deal here, but... you mean to tell me that you want the people that voted for Justin Trudeau to now have two Senate seats? I don't know about that, you know. And now the people of Canada, I think, are going to right the situation here pretty soon. But still, they still voted to put Trudeau into power anyway. But thankfully, he's stepping down now.
Yeah, he's I guess he's resigning from head of the party. But he's going to stay in as prime minister until the next election. But you thought from all the headlines yesterday that he was actually out. But, oh, no, he's actually staying in as prime minister.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I think we got time to sneak in another phone call here before the next break. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm waiting for the sun to come up. How about you guys?
Hey, at least I see. At least I can see. So I think the sun's out there. It's just hidden by some clouds right now.
I believe it. I give you one thing to do. I want to talk about the legislature, but you might look this up. Years ago, back in the late 50s and 60s, I could have went to Thule, Greenland to build an air base there for the United States. So you might check and see who owns that.
Well, I know we've still got, I think we still have one base there, at least.
Huh?
I think we still have one base in Greenland still, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I could have went there and helped build that base at Thule, Greenland.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I'm probably putting her twice as old as you guys. But anyway, I want to say this. Last legislature, we had over 4,200 bills introduced to the legislative services. Now, most people don't even know what legislative services is. Bill Babcock and another guy from Red Lodge and some others took and formed the legislative services. And what it was to produce bills for the senators and legislators that are pretty well constitutional. And he started with $80,000, and now it's in the millions. And lots of lawyers are in there. So what I'm saying is, are we going to have over 4,200 bills introduced this time to the legislature?
So you're telling them, just limit the massive number of bills that you introduce and keep focused, keep some discipline in there on what you actually want to accomplish. All right. Great point. Great phone call, Clint. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's been a wild, wacky ride for the healthcare industry over the last few years. The whole notion that healthcare was recession-proof was blown up by the COVID downturn. Yes, at the outbreak of the pandemic, hospitals were jammed, but demand for most other services plummeted. The sudden swing produced outcomes that were unfamiliar. The overall price index of medical care, which historically has grown faster than overall inflation, actually fell. Employment declined. Nursing home jobs were down 20% in Montana, both due to demand drops and a wave of retirements. Financial pressures on hospitals large and small were intense. Has normality finally returned? The answer is mostly yes, but normal is both good and bad. Disruptions have eased. Labor markets are healing. Healthcare is once again growing in most parts of the state, powered as it always has been by demographics and ever more sophisticated care. But so are healthcare costs, and that's not as welcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. U2 guitarist The Edge revealing the band is working on a lot of new songs. He even says there might be a new song happening very soon. The Edge also revealed on the Soda Jerker on Songwriting podcast that U2 is itching to tour again after a lengthy Las Vegas run at the Sphere in 2023 and 2024. Jane's Addiction is recording new music without singer Perry Farrell. Bassist Eric Avery posting a video on Instagram confirming the news, tagging the other bandmates. Jane's Addiction had canceled its remaining tour last year after the singer got into an altercation on stage with guitarist Dave Navarro during a show. After the event, the band, minus Perry Farrell, posted a statement saying the cancellation of the tour was, quote, part of a continuing pattern of behavior and the mental health difficulties of our singer. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News. After
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, this is kind of funny. John Jackson broke the news for me, at least, that Donald Trump Jr. I must have missed the news update, but that Donald Trump Jr. is in Greenland right now. He already landed in Greenland. But I was flipping through Politico's playbook. Donald Trump Jr. is taking a trip to Greenland today, according to Reuters. He's expected to just get footage for a podcast, not have any important meetings. But his father, nonetheless, used the news to reiterate that he wants Greenland to become part of the U.S. I'm just getting video for a podcast. Nothing to see here, folks.
Come on, man. You know. He didn't take Trump Force One and fly that thing all the way over to Greenland to just get footage for a podcast. He could have had anybody do it. He's over there to make an offer. He's throwing down an offer. Okay, how about $750 billion? We'll give you $750 billion for the place. And as is. We'll buy it as is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a real estate license. And here he is getting footage for some potential property. Andy in Whitefish says, I went to grade school on Guam, and it is a territory, and it was awesome. I've heard Guam's a pretty cool country for, you know, some of the American service members who've been
stationed
there.
Unless it tips over. You know, you got to be real careful about that place. It can tip over if you get too much weight.
Who was the Democrat member of Congress that thought that Guam was going to tip over?
Johnson.
Because of climate change.
Hank Johnson. No, he thought it was going to tip over, but if they got too much weight on the planet, on the island, he thought that would tip it over like it's a raft. Yeah, that's a Democrat congressman for you there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, one of the big climate alarmists as well, I'm sure. Let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Kat calling in from Eastern Montana. Great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron and John in Montana, and thank you to our veterans. I had a feel-good story for you, Aaron, but I'm going to call in on Friday about it. I want to get to the Joe Biden releasing 11 Gitmo terrorist prisoners, gives medals of freedom to Hillary Clinton, George Soros, and other traitors to our country. 158 House Democrats voted no to deporting illegal immigrants who have committed sex offenses. You know, I'm just surprised Biden didn't award all of them a Medal of Freedom. But, you know, elections have consequences, and unfortunately it's us, the citizens of our country, who ultimately feel them. So, you know, I'm going to end this with a question. Why is the Democratic Party so effed up? And how do we prevent these party of psycho-pedo terrorist sympathizers from gaining power again? You guys have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm going to let you take it for a second while I drink some water here before I cough over the airwaves here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's what everybody has to understand is this is not your dad's or your grandpa's Democrat Party. This is the party of Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden. Modern day Democrats are 100% destructive anti-American communists. And anything to that end is what they support. And you look at all the things they support and all the things they vote for and against, and you wonder to yourself, my God, how can this be? Does nobody pay attention to this? And that's the problem with it is, first of all, people don't, they don't pay attention to it. And second, the mainstream media never reports any of it either. So you put those two together and people just never hear about this stuff.
You know, our producer Caden asks a really good question here. Why are we worried about purchasing more territory when we're $36 trillion in counting in debt? Good question about would there be, and if so, how much of a cost would there be to to have Greenland become a part of the United States. But my quick response would be that there are critical mineral resources in Greenland that literally you would be buying a gold mine, or you would be acquiring a gold mine, depending on how the deal is purchased. The people of Greenland themselves may just vote and say, yeah, we don't want to be under Denmark. We want to be under the USA.
And you think about it, I think that's exactly, are you buying a gold mine? Are you buying an oil well, right? You know, that's exactly what they're looking at. And you say, so, you know, like, I believe it's the people of Alaska that every month they get a check of the royalties from the energy up there. And that's something, that's a deal that could be made with the people of Greenland, is that, you know, if we come in, we will develop this place and you guys will get a cut of the profits and all that. You can see how, even say however much it costs, we could make that back times 10 in just a matter of a few years.
Want to go back to what Kat in Eastern Montana called in and talked about too, with Joe Biden and just his shameful final weeks in office. It's embarrassing. I wish it was just funny, because there's some really funny moments too, where you're just like, what is this guy saying? What is he doing? But then you see these shameful decisions where he's putting terrorists back out on the streets, where he's commuting sentences for criminals, where he's handing out medals to crooks like Crooked Hillary, to crooks like George Soros. I saw one of the guys that got one of these presidential medals from Joe Biden. There was a photo of him with one of the guys that tried to assassinate President Trump, the guy that got arrested down at the golf course in Florida. I mean, like, how does that happen? But one of the funnier moments to highlight Joe Biden's final few weeks in office here was captured by Jesse Waters on The Five yesterday. He made the point that Joe Biden can't even get a happy birthday song right.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
All right, Greg, welcome back.
Thank you. And I would like to say happy January 6th.
All right, I just had to throw that one in there just for fun.
My
happy January 6th, because you know it just gets under the skin of the people that caused January 6th, the left.
Did you see the clip of him popping off at those reporters? I'll tell you, I know many goddamn foreign leaders than you do my whole life.
Blah, 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 blah. We bleep, you know, Joe Biden, so we got to bleep you too. Careful.
Jimmy, I wanted them to follow up and say, well, what do you mean by that, President Biden? Because, you know, that would have gotten him off on a rant where he would have just, you know, he would have told some more of his stories about how he walked the entire, you know, Great Wall with President Xi, or he was arrested with Nelson Mandela. And Jill, geez, I think I just took a poopy. You know, I mean, that's where you want to get him off on it. Anytime reporters can get him to tell one of his stories and, you know, provoke him into doing that, it's
well,
just
now he's the latest thing, and I didn't even have time to get this audio yet because we grabbed a million other things already. But Joe Biden's out here talking about these wonderful relationships he had with these Southern Dixiecrats, you know, the Democrats who, you know, were basically called the racists in the United States Senate. He's like, well, I had good relationships with these guys, and, you know, and it's like, my goodness, he eulogized, you know, a former head of the KKK, but yet here he is saying that white supremacy is the greatest threat to this country. I mean, the guy just, you just never know what he's going to say, which, like I say, if his decisions weren't so disastrous, it would be entertaining. Bruce in Ennis, when it comes back to Greenland here, he says oil and gas reserves under Greenland are almost as large as Alaska's.
There it is.
There you go. There you go.
And it probably hasn't been developed like it could be.
Yeah, you never know. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Stu in Marion. Stu, how do you do?
Good morning, gentlemen. Boy, it sure is refreshing to hear you after the new year. I just wanted to answer the lady from Eastern Montana. Her exasperation is the same as mine. I'm a retired man. I moved here to Montana 5 years ago to take a job because, you know, you almost can't retire at retirement age these days just to keep up with the expenses. But I've been very involved, as much as I can be here in Kalispell, in just the politics and just trying, coming from the East, just trying to be involved in it. Last night I attended a meeting, and I just want to tell everybody that we still have a major fight going on because we've got some serious legislation coming up at the end of this month in Helena. And I got to tell you that there are a barrage of people coming into the county on that week to lobby against the state of Montana, the people of Montana, the United States, the citizens of Montana.
What's the issue?
Of the entire country.
What's the issue that's going to be before the legislature that week?
We've got five major ones, but you know, one of the biggest issues is the fact that, you know, we've got an education situation here where, you know, they are going to really attack Christian education, make sure that they get and never are able to get to any money and help, you know, when parents want to.
So school choice is a big one. So school choice, obviously a big one there. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the call. Hey, you mentioned five pieces of legislation. Shoot us a message on the app or shoot me an email with what those other key pieces of legislation are as well, because I'd love to be tracking those bills. And then also if you got more info on who's going to flood into the state to try to lobby against Montanans, I'd love to hear more about that. All right, let's sneak in another caller here before we run out of time. We've got the mighty Hugh Manzi, who does the Behind Enemy Lines podcast with John Jackson, the Joker here. Z, what's going on? Happy New Year. Good to hear from you.
Great Lakes greetings. Happy New Year. And we only have a few more times to be able to do this. Do it together with me, gentlemen. Hail Brandon. Oh, my God. I'm going to miss that guy. You know what? Formaldehyde cures dementia. I just figured this out. And you know how I know this? And that is because Joe Biden, when he bent down and he put that metal around Hillary's neck, he took a big old whiff of her formaldehyde hairdo and it cleared his sinus. My gosh.
He went in close, didn't he?
One of his most loving moments. I think he's reliving that in his mind. And when he goes to the happy home for presidents, he can't operate no good. That's where he's living up there. It's like a weird version of Overlook Hotel.
Was Slick Willie there for that when Brandon went in for the close sniff, whether he was putting the metal on? Was Slick Willie there, or was he distracted? He was off looking somewhere else, I guess, maybe. Yeah, I only saw the video of Joe going in for the medal ceremony. All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. He's got a bunch of stuff scribbled down on his notepad we better start talking about right after this.
Montana News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, what do you got? What do you got scribbled down on your yellow notepad there? You got a lot of topics. Some of them ended up coming up already anyway.
Yeah. Funny clip. You're talking about clips here last segment. Great clip yesterday during the January 6th Black Panther Party. You see Mama Pelosi, who is in her 80s now and who broke her hip overseas, has to come back onto the floor yesterday using a walker. And they've got Mama Pelosi, you know, using a walker, just had her hip replaced, and you got Cocaine Mitch, who's now, I guess, being pushed around in a wheelchair. When are we going to get some kind of age limits on these people? I mean, or do we have to have some kind of cognitive test or some kind of actual physical assessment test to where you have to be able to walk up like three flights of stairs, or you have to be able to count, you know, count backwards from 100, you know, people to be able to serve as our representatives,
whether Republican or Democrat. Yeah. Well, that's why I think term limits are so strongly backed by the American people. I think the latest polling has it like 80 something percent of the American people want term limits. And I think that would fix it if we get an amendment to our Constitution. Now, the Republican Congress back in the 90s got term limits across the finish line, but it was blocked by the Supreme Court. So an amendment to the Constitution would fix that. And I think very clearly, I think I don't know if one of our, well, we'd probably, there's always that guy. There's always somebody that would say, no, we don't need term limits for members of Congress. But I think the vast majority of our listeners right now would say, yes, we need term limits. And that would stop where you get these people that they've been there so long. Well, it was like Kay Granger out of Texas, the congresswoman out of Texas. For 6 months, she was in like a memory care facility down in Texas. Nobody even knew where she was, but nobody ever really raised any significant questions. You had a member of Congress who was basically missing in action for 6 months, and it was like nobody even cared or even knew.
Well, look at Susan Collins. Have you seen Susan Collins lately? I mean, oh, my God, the woman can barely speak and can't control the movement of her limbs or her head. She's got some kind of one of those problems. I mean, she does not need to be there either.
What was the topic that you opened up with, though? Man, it triggered a thought that I was gonna bring up.
Oh, Pelosi.
Oh yeah, with Pelosi. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention. Did you watch? So Kamala Harris, what was she? Only the third vice president in American history that lost the presidential election. So then, therefore, she had to be there to certify her own election loss. Did you see the look on Mike Johnson's face as he was sitting behind her up on the stand?
Mike Johnson. Yeah, he's back there with that just barely constrained kind of smile on his face, enjoying all of it. And I really hope, you know, truly, since when did he get put in? Where we had about a year and a half of Mike Johnson's speakership has been absolutely awful. I mean, has been as bad as Paul Ryan. And I really hope now under the Trump presidency and Trump leadership, he can be turned around, because he was nothing better than a Democrat over these last year.
Well,
this last year and
you've
half.
Heard me. I have a difference of opinion. I think it, the problem with the House GOP wasn't Speaker Mike Johnson or whoever the speaker would be or was. The problem with the House GOP is you had too many showboating, grandstanding members of Congress who would never support. Yet you have moderates over here who would compromise away anything. And then you have showboaters and grandstanders over here who just wanted to get attention. And so their vote effectively became meaningless. They effectively couldn't get anything done because they would never support anything. And so, I mean, I think that's why President Trump came out in full support of Mike Johnson and I think his others is because, and I think the best thing Mike Johnson or anybody who would be the Speaker of the House right now, I would not want to be hurting those cats. The best thing they've got going for them is President Trump and Trump's army to make sure that leadership has their back. Because before, you get a handful of Republicans that vote this way, a handful of Republicans that vote that way. You effectively can't do anything. You've lost all power. You are combat ineffective. And that's what we saw with the last session of Congress, is Republicans had the majority, but they never united and got in the fight.
Dude, that never happened. That never happened over the last year and a half with Mike Johnson, because every time what he was doing, he was not trying to herd cats. The cats weren't and never even involved. He was over in the back rooms cutting secret side deals with Democrats, get the whole thing together and spring it on the whole caucus 2 or 3 days ahead of time. There was no cat herding going on.
But again, nobody likes these continuing resolutions. And yeah, we want to see each bill done, each appropriations bill done in time. They got a handful of the appropriations bills done, but not all of them. But some of the same people who complained about continuing resolutions were some of the same people who couldn't get on board with some of the individual appropriations bills. And then so, of course, what happens? If you can't unite on an appropriations bill, then none of it gets done earlier in the year, and it all piles up at the end of the year. But again, hopefully we can move forward now with less showboating, less grandstanding, and Donald Trump there to keep people in line.
And what they did last, don't forget what they did last year here would be almost a year ago, March, April. They intentionally kicked both of those omnibus bills to March, April. You know why? Because that got them past the date where any of these people could be primaried. And then they were all cool to vote for the entire Biden budget, the freaking money for Ukraine, all the money for the NGOs that are bringing all the freaking illegals in here, all of it funded by the Republican House.
Yeah, but again, because some Republicans could never sign off on any deal whatsoever, they were effectively neutered as a caucus. And so But again, now with President Trump, to keep them in line and to give a speaker the backup that a speaker needs to keep the party. I'm hoping now that the party is united. I think in the first few days now, I think they've shown a strong sense of unity. I hope we see the same thing in Helena, too, where we don't get these factions of moderates doing one thing, you know, egos over here doing another thing, conservatives over here doing another thing. Like, guys, unite and get in the fight and stay in the fight, because the Democrats and the media are going to just try to pick you off one by one.
Well, and I think they are unified right now as we sit here today. I mean, I hope it lasts. And the reason they are unified is not because, make no mistake, it's not because they care about Trump or about us or about their, you know, their cause out there. It's because of Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Twitter. Right. They are now scared to take on that army. They tried it already. Joni Ernst and a couple of people tried it. And they got smashed. Yep. So now they all got their big fake smiles on. Yes, yes, yes. We're all unified.
We're all friends. Well, that's what's so great about what you do, John, on X, and your army, and Kat from Eastern Montana is you're our army here in Montana. Not just for the national stuff, but for some of the Montana stuff as well. It's been so huge, and it is so impactful now as well. Because I remember, man, I've been in this, you know, statewide talk radio stuff since 2009, and there was nobody else on X or Twitter or whatever you wanted to call it. It was like, okay, I guess I'll just be the one calling these people out. But, hey, where's everybody else, you know?
Big thing, I guess Mike Johnson came out and said it the other day, and I absolutely agree with this. He's telling his caucus to stop leaking to the press. Now, of course, they're in a private meeting, and he told them not to leak, and that's the first thing that leaked. That's the first thing that leaked. But they need to shut the F up, and you know, keep. You don't see Democrats doing that. They keep their secrets secret, right? Republicans cannot wait to be texting Jake Sherman or texting Chad Pergram and telling them what is actually going on in the meeting right
while
now.
In the meeting, yeah. but on a lighter note, what I was going to say is, as Speaker Mike Johnson was sitting behind Kamala Harris certifying her own election laws, he looks like, you know, if one of your kids got in trouble and you're chewing out one of your kids, the other kid is in the background smirking and laughing. That's what he looked like, because he's just like, oh man, look at this, you know, breaking out the popcorn. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen on the phone lines. Frank, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Oh, the last couple of days, Kamala's changed her tune. It was cackling, kind of a laying your egg, a brooding kind of noise, and now it's just a cluck. You know, she knows she's laid an egg now. You know, it's all over.
Very. You must have some backyard chickens there in Evergreen, huh? You've studied these things closely.
Oh, hey, we got a nationwide shortage of eggs right now, and she should get her joy girls and go free-ranging around some of these old farms around these nuclear plants.
From cackling to clucking. I guess I haven't been watching enough of the videos here. I haven't heard a lot of cackling in the last few days. You would have thought for their January 6th celebrations, there would have been cackling galore.
Well, you saw what happened yesterday. The memo went out, and it was from Kamala all the way down. And that is, we cannot say a word. We are going to just be as nice and respectful as we can on this certification. And now they won a medal for the fact that for the first time since 1988, they haven't objected to an election yet. Oh, wait, look at what we did. We won a medal for this. We're so awesome. Nah, I don't think. I remember, I was around when and saw y'all do that every other election since 88. So.
Yeah. Oh, but everybody wants a medal now, because everybody is practically getting one from Joe Biden.
Up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I'm telling all of you right now, you're going to have to stay engaged. This is not, oh, I voted for Trump, I did my part, I'm done. Because they have a very slim majority. We saw this unfold last week with the vote for Speaker. America now has an opportunity to return to constitutional order that our framers and our founders wanted. Government by, of, and for the people, not just words. Limited government. We say it all the time. Do we really want limited government? Because you're going to get an opportunity to have limited government and greater freedom. Donald Trump needed your help in 24. He will need your help to achieve what is a very ambitious agenda, especially with a slim majority in Congress.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government, and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service, and they're based here in the U.S., and you pay half the price for the exact same thing. Now that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250, say the keyword, save now, do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's been a wild, wacky ride for the healthcare industry over the last few years. The whole notion that healthcare was recession-proof was blown up by the COVID downturn. Yes, at the outbreak of the pandemic, hospitals were jammed, but demand for most other services plummeted. The sudden swing produced outcomes that were unfamiliar. The overall price index of medical care, which historically has grown faster than overall inflation, actually fell. Employment declined. Nursing home jobs were down 20% in Montana, both due to demand drops and a wave of retirements. Financial pressures on hospitals, large and small, were intense. Has normality finally returned? The answer is mostly yes, but normal is both good and bad. Disruptions have eased. Labor markets are healing. Healthcare is once again growing in most parts of the state, powered as it always has been by demographics and ever more sophisticated care. But so are healthcare costs, and that's not as welcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state funded programs.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, as soon as Gary go, he wrapped up talking. I should have let Caden know that I gave Matt a heads up that he would be first up right outside the gates here after the break. So what about Canada becoming the 51st state of the United States of America? I think Matt in Columbia Falls is saying, whoa, 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 I don't know about that one. Matt, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Definitely got a lot of concern about that. Canada has got a very large, liberal-leaning population. I think anybody that's of a conservative mindset in the United States here should definitely be pushing back against any, if that initiative starts moving towards any reality, we definitely need to come together and stand our ground against that happening. If you look at the way Canada's been operating, even going across the border into Lake Cranbrook, you deal with a ton of liberalism. You see, you know, I was just up there a couple of months ago, was seeing Harris walls banners hanging. You'd see Trump banners in the more rural areas, but even in Cranbrook, you're seeing, you know, Canadian influence for Harris and Biden. And I just don't think that they have got the conservative footprint to be able to be a benefit to the United States. If we were to bring them in, we would end up with a massive problem of being able to hold on to any conservatism in the United States.
Yeah, I think the Canada talk is more of a pressure campaign, I think, because he's basically mocking Trudeau and as a result mocking all of the left in Canada. And I think in a way he's helping to give rise to the conservative opposition, because I think a lot of Canadians they're going to get tired of being punked. They're going to get tired of being mocked, and they're going to say, man, we need somebody who's going to stand up. We need somebody who played hockey to lead this country, you know, somebody a little tougher than Trudeau. And so I think he's
helping the conservative opposition, oddly enough. John Jackson, your thoughts, and Matt, thanks for the call.
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what he's doing by all of that. Canada's never going to join with us, right? That's never going to happen. He's just mocking Trudeau and the ultra-left communists up there in Canada and what an absolute mess they've made of the place. But to what we were talking about a minute ago about Greenland, while we were at the break, pull this up, Donald Trump has confirmed now that Don Jr.'s trip to Greenland, and he is there right now meeting with people as we speak, his trip there is an effort to come up with a deal to bring Greenland into the USA.
And this is great. John showed me the video. Donald Trump Jr. is at like a cafe. It looks like Fox and Friends is doing one of their big, breakfast TV programs. Don Jr. is at this cafe, and he gets Donald Trump on the phone to talk to the people in Greenland, and now they're saying they're working on a deal. Yeah, I mean, and these people all have red MAGA t-shirts on in Greenland. You know, it's crazy. All right, we're just about out of time. Nancy in Roundup wants to weigh in on Canada. Nancy, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, and Happy New Year, John, to you and your family. Well, as far as Canada, no, they're not going to join the USA. And even if they did, I would want only the provinces that would hook us up to Alaska. But, yeah, I want to go for Iceland. I call it Iceland, and the people call themselves Icelanders. I don't call it Greenland. But there's only 365,000 people that live on the island. They're productive. They speak fluent English. They have a fantastic, very ancient Viking history. They have geothermal energy. They've got diamonds, minerals that we can use, and we have to take it before China does. So that's my stand on Iceland. Yes, I want Iceland. Let's give China Puerto Rico.
Do they have Lefse in Greenland, though? That's what I want to know. I'm sure they got Danish. Do they have Lefse? If they got Lefse, we're in. I mean, diamonds, pearls, oil, gas. Ah, Lefse. We need more Lefse. John, do you even know what Lefse is? You're a Carolina boy.
I'm going after Colombia. I say we take Colombia.
Colombia. Yeah. What are you going after? Are you helping Hunter?
That's what I'm going after, Colombia, right there.
All right. Justin Trudeau is out. That's right. The pretty little prime minister of Canada is stepping down. How did Canada get stuck with that tyrant for this long? Then again, look at the mess facing our country. Well, 2 weeks to go. We will be there for President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. Then we head straight to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Meantime, we got a lot to cover, and we want to hear from you because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.